The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, everybody? It's another Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. The Jersey Boy, the great Bruce Springsteen. That is a live version of Out in the Street from the old Brendan Byrne Arena in East Rutherford, New Jersey. That was recorded back on August the 6th of 1984. The Byrne is still there. It's the Continental Airlines Arena, but it's no longer in use for anything, really. The American Dream Mall is there now, but I saw many a concert at the Brendan Byrne Arena way, 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 way back in the day. This is a part of a new collection that Bruce Springsteen has out right now, the Live Series. It's Songs of Celebration, and it's recordings from, a lot of it is from New York and New Jersey, the Capitol Theater, Madison Square Garden, Giant Stadium, but some of it is from roll of the dice from Arrowhead Pond in Anaheim, California. There's another one from the Coliseum in Greensboro, North Carolina. The Spectrum in Philadelphia, in Buffalo. He has a bunch of different live recordings. There's 15 tracks in all on this one, and it just came out. So if you're a fan of Bruce and you like this live series that he's been doing, it's definitely something that you want to pick up. Now, we have a great show for you tonight. Coming up in 20 minutes, Kristen Popchev. She is the Director of Experience from Weldworks Brewing out in Colorado. She's going to join me. Weldworks celebrating their 9th anniversary in just a few weeks. We're going to discuss all about the shenanigans that will be taking place along with some other stuff coming up in just about 20 minutes from now. But we've got news to get to, and there's plenty of it. And, you know, did you know that craft breweries are actually good for your home? And here's why, and I'll explain. Craft breweries have already been proven to revitalize a lot of forgotten urban neighborhoods. We've seen this in a bunch of cities where a brewery pops up and sort of the neighborhood starts to, get themselves together, et cetera, et cetera. But it could also up the asking price for your home. Apparently, this is from AmericanCraftBeer.com. But researchers at the University of Toledo in North Carolina have found that living close to a craft brewery could help raise the asking price of your property. Now, they used Charlotte, North Carolina as a case study. Researchers focused on properties sold between 2002 and 2017. So this is before the pandemic, that were within a half mile buffer of a brewery, and found that while many areas near a craft brewery appear to have been associated with relatively higher price premiums even before the opening of the brewery, breweries tend to add to this premium. It's good news for Charlotte homeowners, a city that is enjoying its own craft beer boom. 21 new craft breweries opened between 2009 and 2016 alone. All right, again, it's a little bit of a dated story. I'd like to see if ones have closed since then in the, 7, 8 years, whatever it is. Dr. Neil Reed, professor of geography and planning at the University of Toledo, says being able to walk to a craft brewery in the evening or late afternoon on the weekend is considered a positive amenity that would, for some people, be attractive when looking at a house. The study, which is published in Growth and Change, a Journal of Urban and Regional Policy, found that city-centered condominiums showed a nearly 3% increase, while single-family homes in those same neighborhoods saw a nearly 10% increase after a brewery opened within a half mile. The new research shows that craft breweries contribute to increased property tax revenues for local governments. In addition, to job creation and aiding neighborhood revitalization efforts. However, the effects to residential property values may not be as significant in places with higher rates of vacancies and lower population growth, as well as in more established cities such as Chicago or New York. Now, again, in New York City, it's a little different. You're mostly renting. A lot of people don't buy in New York City proper. So, unless it's Staten Island. Again, I think take all of this with a grain of salt. I think it's a good thing when you have a craft brewery in your area. I saw this a lot in San Diego. My wife and I were at the Modern Times in their college area of San Diego, up from the San Diego Zoo, I noticed a lot of younger people at night. We were there on a Friday night we were there, and it was like 4-5 o'clock. Like, the sun was just setting. People were getting off of work. They're coming in with their babies. They're hanging out with people. It's a long day at work. They're unwinding to have a beer. Not to stay there all night and drink, but basically have a beer, touch base with a few people, and then walk to a place to have dinner because there were restaurants in the area, things of that nature. So you see more of that in those areas. Do I see it in New Jersey? In Broadway you do. You see people come into Wet Ticket. They bring pizza, something. They have something to eat. They leave, or maybe they're coming after dinner and wanting to have a beer before they go home, or maybe before dinner they're having a drink. So you do see it in certain places. So it's interesting, an interesting study. But again, take it with a grain of salt. The study was conducted between, 2003 and 2017. So this is way before the pandemic. B3, Beer Barbecue Bacon Showdown, taking place Saturday, May 18th, Menin Arena Field. Great event. It's an outdoor event, features 30 New Jersey craft breweries, each serving three styles of beer, one of which rare or created specifically for the event, not to mention an assortment of tasty barbecue and bacon dishes from local vendors and restaurants, live music and entertainment as well. It's one session, njbeerbbqfest.com, njbeerbbqfest.com. That's the website. General admission is from 1 to 5. The VIP, it's an extra hour from noon to 1. So if you go to the VIP, it's a five-hour event. It's great. It's a benefit for the Chester First Aid Squad. I am a judge at this event every year. We have a phenomenal time. It is so much fun. Again, B3, the Beer Barbecue Bacon Showdown, Saturday, May 18th, Menin Arena, on the field there, njbeerbbqfest.com. Get your tickets. Trust me, you do not want to miss this. It is always an awesome event. And if you come and you see me, say hello. I will have time to chat with people later. We usually finish up probably by 2 o'clock. So we do have a good time at these events every single year. And I'm Allison, thank you so much for asking me to be a judge, because I enjoy doing it. Monster owns Cigar City. That's right. Monster bought Cigar City out and their brands a couple years ago. They are shifting their Tampa, Florida-based craft brewery's production hub to a cross-category innovation center. And as a result of the change, 12 positions were terminated. This was from Brewbound, who confirmed the news. The company also eliminated the position of longtime and original brewmaster Wayne Wambles on February 9th. Wambles' 16th anniversary with the company would have been in early March. He's actively seeking employment, according to his LinkedIn profile. Details about other eliminated roles were not available. As the Tampa facility transitions to an R&D hub for beer, flavored malt beverages, and spirits, Cigar City beers will be produced at the Oscar Blues Brewery in Brevard, North Carolina. That was confirmed by Brewbound. Cigar City's own premise locations will remain open: the Spruce Street Brewery and Tap Room, the downtown Tap Room near the Amalie Arena, and Tampa International Airport will continue to serve Tampa brewed small batched beer. The guy's been your brewmaster for 16 years and you bang him. Now, again, I think this is what happens when you sell to a bigger company that is making a ton of money based on its energy drinks and they're doing things that are not beer centric. To put all of your beer in one spot is not a good idea. There are different ways of doing things. Maybe the brewer at Oscar Blues does things differently than the brewer at Cigar City, than the brewer at another place. And now all of a sudden, your one guy is in charge of all the recipes to put all of these things together. I don't think it's a good idea. I think it stinks. I think this guy losing his job after 16 years. And by the way, you do this before Hunapu, one of your biggest events of the year, where people come from all over to buy your stout. They haven't even done the Hunapu Day, that they used to do at Tampa at where the Bucks play. They haven't done that since the pandemic. It's not a good situation. I know a lot of people were upset by this, and I don't blame them. I really don't. I don't know. This just smacks of it's. Let's put it this way: it's going to affect the beer. There are people that say that it's already affected the beer. I mean, I was there last year at the main hub at Cigar City, and they just put in a kitchen and stuff. The food was fantastic, but the beer was great. It was delicious. Everything that I had was really good. I had a lot of fun there. Not a good situation. And I think it's just a way of cutting costs. That's the bottom line. Finally, Killsborough Brewing, our good friends on Staten Island, Pizza Party is back. Saturday, July 20th from noon to 4 p.m. It's at Snug Harbor Cultural Center. Enjoy unlimited beer samples from 20-plus breweries, slices from legendary New York City pizzerias. Early bird tickets are going on sale soon. All proceeds go to Snug Harbor. 100% of the proceeds go to Snug Harbor. I buy a ticket every year for this. It is absolutely worth it. It's fantastic. You have a great time eating pizza, listening to great music, and drinking delicious beer. It's the perfect event. Cannot wait to go, and I'm so glad that Sean changed the date, because if it was the following week, I wouldn't be able to go. I had the Sammy Hagar show at PNC. Now I can absolutely go, and I will not miss it the third year in a row. Cannot wait to go. It's going to be. Was it the third year or fourth year? It might be the fourth year. I think it might be the fourth. Maybe it is. It is the fourth year. 4 years. Wow. All right. There you go. All right. When we come back after a short break, we're going to have more news and notes. And by the way, did you know that New Belgium Brewing is making a beer that you can buy that they're teaming up with a pizza brand? Yeah. And you're not even going to believe the price point on this beer. How they're going to sell it is beyond me. I'll have the details coming up next on the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Welcome back to the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. Here it is.
Higher and higher, baby. It's a living thing.
That's right. Electric Light Orchestra, I guess they're known now, Jeff Lynne's ELO. I don't know that. I'm sure that had something to do with some sort of copyright or somebody who was a former member in the band. Something. Who knows? Anyway. Jeff Lynne has announced earlier this week that he will be going on his final tour with Electric Light Orchestra. Hasn't toured in 7 years, so I absolutely jumped on getting tickets, and I did, but not in New York. I'm going to go see him in Philly at the Wells Fargo Center. I'm not a big fan of Madison Square Garden's owner or his ticket prices. I think they're a little outlandish, and so I went a little bit less expensive in Philly, and I'm sure when I work it out, it's probably going to be about the same amount of money driving and eating and whatever. But you know what? I just wanted to do Philly. And in September, it should be a lot of fun. Now, coming up in just about 10 minutes, Kristen Popchev, she's the Director of Experience from Weldworks. She's going to join me on the program. Weldworks celebrating their 9th anniversary in just a few weeks. We're going to discuss all about the shenanigans that will be taking place, along with some other stuff. And it's happening in just about 10 minutes from now. Now, as I mentioned before the break, there is a brewery that is pairing up with a pizza company for a pizza ale. New Belgium has teamed up with the frozen pizza brand Tombstone to create IPA or iPizza, right? You know, all right. Anyway, it's a pie-flavored brew. Now, apparently, Tombstone, in a statement to the Denver Post, said, "Pizza and beer are undisputably classics in their own rights, and as a brand born in a bar, the collab between Tombstone and Voodoo Ranger delivers on the promise of bold, full of flavor." According to the website, boozers will get hints of crispy crust, tangy tomato sauce, and savory herbs and spices while sipping on the 7% limited edition Voodoo Ranger IPA made specifically for the boldest of beer and pizza lovers. The finishing pepperoni kick of heat that will make you reach for another slice or another pint. Now, I don't know about this. Now, apparently it is going to be released on National Beer Day, which takes place on April 7th. And by the way, if you go to the brewery, you can get the beer for, I think it's $19.99 for a four-pack. But if you buy it anywhere else, you have to buy it from, I guess, their website, New Belgium's website, wherever they ship to, or Tavor or Tombstone's website, I guess. But you're going to be paying $49.99. And nobody is paying $50 for a four-pack of beer. I don't care what it is. So I wish them luck. I'm not sure if I would ever want to try a beer like that. Just saying. It's just a, I don't know. Just a weird thing. Anyway, by the way, speaking of Weldworks, they have announced the release of Vanilla Medianoche, which is a popular variant from the brewery's Medianoche barrel-aged stout lineup that is notorious for its 24-hour or more extended boils in Colorado and more than 15 out-of-state markets. So this beer, for the first time in a very long time, is being released outside of the Colorado market. It is available now at the Weldworks Tap Room. And then in early April, it'll be in out-of-state markets like New York. I don't think it's going to be. No, it's not going to be in New Jersey. Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Nebraska, Iowa, Idaho. No New Jersey, though. Tavor will also receive the beer as well. So you can purchase it off of Tavor. That's coming up in early April. Now, substance abuse providers and a former top Biden administration official are pushing back on Governor Hochul's plan to permanently allow alcoholic drinks sold with restaurant takeout orders. The groups, which include InUnity Alliance and the Council on Addictions of New York State, along with Rob Kent, the former general counsel of the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, also want to sink a Senate proposal to allow the direct shipping of alcoholic cider. Other state direct shipping programs have shown virtually no safeguards preventing alcohol from ending up in the hands of underage youth, and we worry that even limiting it to cider will create a new beverage of choice for underage drinkers now and a slippery slope, allowing the direct shipping of harder alcohol later, Kent said. But Hochul has been a supporter of loosening the state's arcane alcohol beverage control laws, seeing it as a business-friendly and popular stance. This is where I agree with the governor, and I disagree with Mr. Kent. No relation to Clark Kent, by the way. And here's why. Let's put it this way. In order for alcohol to be delivered to your residence, somebody over the age of 21 has to sign for it. They have to show ID. You need to put better protocols in place. Believe me, when I've had stuff shipped to my house, if I'm not home, the guy doesn't leave it. It goes back to UPS or FedEx or whatever, and then you have to make arrangements to go pick it up. What I would do, and this is where I would create the control for it, is it cannot be delivered to your home. It gets sent to a UPS or FedEx place. Then you have to go as the consumer to actually pick it up and show your identification. That's how you safeguard direct shipping. That's how you make sure that somebody that is underage doesn't get their hands on it. That's the smart play. Now, if they do that, I think that's a more palatable thing that would happen. I don't think something like this is going to happen in New Jersey, especially because breweries, when they come to the house, again, they tell you, if you're not home or you don't have the proper ID, you're not getting it. It's plain and simple. So I think there are ways around this, and I hope that these laws pass, they get through, they're in the budget, and they get through for this year in New York. Axe and Arrow Brewing is having their five-year celebration. It takes place the weekend of April 26th through April 28th. It starts at 3 p.m. on Friday the 26th at the brewery in Glassboro, New Jersey. As they say, it's been a wild 5 years of crafting beer for you. We could not have imagined this is where we'd be in 5 years, and so grateful we've traveled this road with you all. We're celebrating 5 years in beer by bringing back some fan favorites and, of course, some new beer. There'll be new limited edition glassware, giveaways, and, of course, Crystal's Pretzels. So, again, that is Axe and Arrow Brewing, five-year anniversary, 3 p.m. Friday, April 26th through April 28th in Glassboro, New Jersey. And here's a cool story. Bonesaw Brewing wants to take over an empty store at Freehold Raceway Mall and open a craft brewery and tasting room, bringing a brew, well, they say brew pub. It's not really a brew pub. It's a brewery to the mall for the first time. It can't be a brew pub, would be food. Bonesaw Brewing, which has locations in Glassboro and Deptford Mall, proposes to open a brewery in the former Kirkland space, part of Freeway Raceway Mall's Lifestyle Center. Township Planning Board was reviewing the proposal at a meeting this past week. The space has been vacant since Kirkland closed in January of 2020. They want to convert part of the store, just a little over 2,000 square feet, for an indoor brewing space, then the remaining 4,800 square feet for an indoor tasting room. Excuse me. According to documents on file with the planning board, they also proposed two outdoor seating areas at the new brewery. Customers would be able to drink Bonesaw beers along with food purchased elsewhere within the mall. So they're not selling food. So it's not technically a brew pub. It's a brewery. It'll be interesting to see what happens here. They've done this already. I think they'll approve it. And if they do, then here's three spaces where you can get Bonesaw beer. That's pretty good. Good for them that they're being so aggressive here. And then finally, Coho Brewing has finally sold in Cape May, and there is a name change. They're super excited to announce that Coho Brewing is now Whale Tail Brewing Company, where the ocean makes exceptional craft beer in the heart of Cape May County. Step into our inviting tap room and immerse yourself in the ambiance of the ocean. However, our dedication to all things oceanic isn't just in the theme, it's in our mission. With each sip of our handcrafted beer, you're not just tasting excellence, you'll be supporting ocean conservation efforts. Our lineup of beers is as diverse as the marine life that inhabits the seas, from crisp and refreshing lagers to bold and flavorful ales. There is something for every palate to enjoy. Welcome to Whale Tail Brewing Company, where every sip tells a story of conservation and craft. Kudos to the new owners, and I hope that they are quite successful. I think this is a good thing, and, you know, one more brewery in New Jersey, which, by the way, some stuff, you know, I mentioned the Five Dimes thing down in Red Bank. There's some other news that's going to be happening in the next couple of weeks, and more on that as the weeks progress. I can't really give too much away, but having to do something with an ocean theme, and we'll leave it at that. When we come back after a short break, Kristen Popchev, the Director of Experience from Weldworks, will join me on the program. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. My next guest is the Director of Experience at a brewery out in Greeley, Colorado. They're about to celebrate their ninth anniversary in just a few short weeks. Now, you know these folks. They're pushing their delicious suds, easy for me to say, in lots of different places, including locally here in the New York and New Jersey area. Weldworks.com is the website for more information. But let me welcome to the Craft Beer Cast for the first time, Kristen Popchev. Kristen, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Now, let's dive right into the anniversary stuff. First up, on the 30th of March, you've got some big boozy stouts up for sale. Which ones are they?
So we're going to have, for our anniversary release, we're going to have our 2024 Reserve coming out and our Pappy Van Winkle Media Noche coming out.
Great. And those are, you have to buy them ahead of time, and you can pick them and then pick them up at the brewery. But if there are any bottles left, will they be available for purchase at the brewery?
Yes, they will.
Okay.
And we'll have some on draft as well.
Excellent, excellent. Now, aside from the Media Noche bottles, what beers are going to be on tap for the anniversary weekend coming up April 5th through the 7th?
I was not prepared for that one. I haven't actually checked our release schedule. but we're actually kind of focusing less on the beer release side. We're going to have great releases. We made sure to curate the beer selections that week with some of our fan favorites.
Okay.
But we were kind of actually looking to incorporate some more things going on, like with our in-house kitchen and some other just experiential events around the brewery.
So more or less like, you know, food and beer pairings and things like that and stuff to celebrate the 9 years.
Yeah, for sure. We're kind of saving up a lot for our big 10-year next year.
Right. No, I know. You don't want to pop the cork too early, but, you know, obviously 9 years is a big deal, especially in the brewery world. We're talking with Kristen Popchev. She is the Director of Experience at Weldworks Brewing. Weldworks.com is the website for more information. Now, the anniversary party is taking place the weekend of April 5th through 7th. They've got lots of things planned. We're here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. 9 years spreading beer, not only around Colorado, but also in so many places around the country, as Weldworks has made it a sort of more of a push in the last year and a half or so to get beers out beyond Colorado. In just the last few years, though, there have been so many changes within the beer industry. How does Weldworks itself deal with the ups and downs on an everyday basis, Kristen?
You know, we kind of just put our head down and focus on our craft and just keep doing what we do. You know, as you said, it's a fluctuating industry, but we've definitely found our niche and know what our fan base is looking for. So we just try to push out as much quality products as we can.
And Weldworks is also releasing, I got the email from Shay yesterday. We're actually recording this during the week, but on Monday I got an email from Shay about a version of Media Noche bottle that will not only be in Colorado, but it's also going to be in a number of different states. Do you know which version this is being released, and when can folks purchase it?
Yeah, that's going to be our vanilla Media Noche. We do a couple national drops a year, more or less. And so this is our first one of 2024. And that one is going to be out of state. I'm not exactly sure when it'll be hitting shelves. That's a little bit up to the distributor side.
Right.
But in the next couple weeks.
But this is something now that normally would have only been available to get in Colorado. Now places can place orders and say, hey, I want to get a bottle of this, and I can have it shipped to me. If there are people that are requesting it at various places around the country where you guys distribute, they can do that now with this particular bottle, right?
Yes, this is the third ever time that we've made a Media Noche variant available outside of Colorado.
And Kristen, and we're talking with Kristen Popchev. She's the director of experience at Weldworks Brewing. Weldworks.com is the website for more information. The anniversary party, of course, taking place the weekend of April 5th through the 7th, as we're here on the Alcatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. So I have to ask, how did you get started in this business? Was this something that you just sort of fell into, or was beer always, you know, a part of your, you know, upbringing, so to say? You were a, you know, amateur home brewer, et cetera, and then decided to just gravitate into the beer business?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely the former. I fell into it. It was one of the co-founders' wives I was friends with, and I was kind of just looking for something to do at the time, and they were kind of looking for someone to come help open up. I actually started with them about 6 months before we opened.
Oh, wow.
I came on board about almost 9.5 years ago and just never left.
Wow. That's great. I mean, to start at something from the ground up, it's not like you came along and you know, oh, I'm a fan of their beers, and I was drinking here for a couple of years, and they decide, oh, you know, you're so good at that, let's bring it. You were there right at the ground floor, so you were there from the very beginning of all of the things that were coming together. That's got to be pretty cool, though. You got to have a little bit of pride there that nine and a half years later, you know, you're still there, right?
Oh yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, being able to see it like literally built from the ground up,
right,
has just been phenomenal, and all the amazing people that we have had, it's been wild, absolutely humbling.
And what exactly does a director of experience do?
I'm involved in a lot. I oversee all of our events, both in-house at the tap room. I help coordinate our local events within Colorado, our out-of-state events. GABF takes up my life for about a month out of the year. I work a lot internally as well, kind of the employee experience. I work with our HR team to kind of help ensure that we have good engagement and are doing fun events to keep the staff excited about everything. And I also kind of work on the community side as well, all of our overseeing all of our donations and philanthropic efforts.
And when you started, Chris, I want to just go back to, you know, how you've been there since the very beginning. When you started, what was your initial position when you started? Was it director of experience, or did you grow into that position? You were doing something else and then grew into this spot.
Oh, I definitely grew into it. I started in the tap room. I was our sole tap room employee and then tap room manager. I dabbled in sales briefly, which was not my forte. I kind of held the HR position for a little while. I basically kind of have had any position that we're currently growing into until you bring the real professionals in. So I've worn many hats, but this was definitely kind of my forte, basically, of just being able to curate events and experiences and, you know, and engage with the community and our team.
And we're talking with Kristen Popchev. She's the Director of Experience at Weldworks Brewing. Weldworks.com is the website for more information. The anniversary party is taking place the weekend of April 5th through the 7th. We're on the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. So what other things are going to be happening during the anniversary party that whole weekend? Obviously, you have the Media Noche release. You're doing all this stuff with the food. There's obviously going to be other activities at the brewery for that whole weekend. Can you tell the folks a little bit about it?
Yeah, so we're going to have our owner, Neil Fisher, leading a couple tours, because the first one sold out so quickly, on Saturday. So giving everyone a behind-the-scenes peek and being able to sample some, you know, fresh beers coming off the Bright Tank and all that good stuff. We're doing a brunch, which we did our first year anniversary with, at the time, it was one of our food trucks that we had. And then we brought it back last year after, you know, 7 years, and people went pretty crazy for that. The owner of the food truck is now our head chef. So in addition to doing that brunch, which has just a killer menu, some beer cocktails that we're whipping up, it's just kind of a fun experience. He's also bringing back some fan favorites. It was a food truck called the Trampabout. At the local crowd just absolutely loved their shrimp andouille po' boy and their cubano were two of their biggest hits way back in the day. And it's been about 4 years since we had them as a food truck, and now 2 years that he's been running our kitchen. So he's going to bring back some of the Trampabout favorites, a little bit of a Trampabout menu takeover.
Wow, that sounds great. And again, it's running for the entire weekend, April 5th through the 7th at Weldworks Brewing. Weldworks.com, the website for more information there. Last question from me, Kristen. We've seen a number of women that have gotten involved in this business in various ways, whether they're owners, brewers, directors of experience, et cetera, et cetera. We've seen the good and the bad in the brewery business with women. But I want to ask you, what can be done to get more women involved in this business, to want to be involved in this business, to grow it even further from a female perspective? What do you think needs to be done?
I mean, that's a great question. I think the biggest thing is just for women being able to see themselves more in this industry. Mm-hmm. For a long time, you know, even on our team, and we try hard to have a very diverse staff, was skewing heavily on the male side just because we weren't getting the women applicants. And I think a lot of it is just that women don't see it as an accessible pathway, or just maybe not as, they don't think of it as an option as a career path because, right, you know, historically it is such a male driven industry. So just being able to see more women doing things out there, especially, you know, working on the production side, which you don't see as much, and just seeing themselves more visibly, I think would do a lot of just thinking, hey, that could be me.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a great answer. There are plenty of women that have gotten involved in this business, some locally that I know that do very well. And I think you're right. I think we do need to get, I think it's more of an education of saying, hey, look, by the way, you got the ladies can do this too. People forget that the people who first made beer, which if you want to have the argument, it's the Egyptians were the ones that first made beer, but a lot of women made beer way back when. People seem to forget that, and that's an important distinction that I think we need to make, to, you know, to let everybody know that this is something that you can do and be very much proud of. My guest has been Kristen Popchev. She's the Director of Experience at Weldworks Brewing. Weldworks.com is the website for more information. The anniversary party is taking place the weekend of April 5th through the 7th. Check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Kristen, thanks so much for joining me tonight. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
You got it. Up next, it's time for Suds and Duds on the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer.
Well, I'm working on myself. Yes, I'm working with nobody else. Well, I got this feeling.
this feeling that I can win. You know I'm working, working on myself. Go!
Final segment of the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer, as the song says, from the record company, I'm Working. That's from their fourth album, which is titled their fourth album. And let me tell you something. If you've not seen the record company, you should absolutely get out there and see those guys. They are pretty gosh darn awesome to see in concert. All right, Suds and Duds. A lot of stuff. We'll talk about it next week. ELO is going back out on tours. A bunch of different bands that are heading out. And maybe we'll touch on some of those things for the Easter Craft Beer Cast. Of course, tonight being Palm Sunday. It's almost the end of Palm Sunday. Let's dive into Suds and Duds. And then a special thank you to a craft beer pioneer. We'll get to that in a second. Let's start off with the Hop Butcher for the World. Blazed Green Relish. Now that Hop Butcher is more available in New Jersey, my favorite place to go and eat and drink, Paragon Tap and Table, right off of 135, off the Parkway in beautiful Clark, New Jersey, where I live. They get these beers in on the regular. And as I noted in my Untappd check-in, and you can follow me on Untappd at Gattulo, GATTULLO, I need to get to this brewery in Chicago, although I wrote in need to get to this brewery. What do you want? Fat fingers, and I have my glasses on. So many delicious beers, a banging IPA. They just absolutely, positively, without a doubt, they put out some delicious beer. And my best friend and I were talking about this. We want to do a trip to Chicago, not only to hit them, Revolution, there's a bunch of different places, but we want to do a Cubs game. And maybe a White Sox game, too. So we'll see what happens. Probably not going to happen this year. It's probably going to be more like next year. Then I moved on to Top of the Brock by Other Half. Paragon gets in a lot of Other Half cans as well. Smooth, soft, nice, great beer, delicious to drink. Very rarely does Other Half make a beer that I don't particularly like. Our good friends from Stone Brewing sent over a new batch of the Stone Delicious Hazy IPA. It's a hazy with that unmistakable stone yeast. I love it. I think this beer is gluten reduced too, but it is. It's an exceptional beer. It's definitely one of those. If you see it on tap somewhere and they don't really have anything else from a local standpoint, this is the beer you get. It's delicious. It's it's nice to have in the fridge. You want to crack a couple open. Good stuff. So very happy with that one. And love what the guys at Stone do. And, you know, do yourself a favor. When you're in San Diego, go visit Stone. If you're going to visit craft breweries, you should always go to the OG. There is stuff at both places, both Liberty Station and Escondido, that there are beers there that aren't for sale anywhere else, that they make them just for the brewery, which is what I think more local breweries should do. If I have time, I'll get to that in a second. Speaking of local breweries, Carton Brewing, Black Swan Event. Nice sweetness, which I was not expecting. Very tasty. This is a New Jersey Imperial Black Ale. Got this back way back on Thanksgiving and finally got a chance to crack it open. That is a delicious beer. Our friends from Dogfish, that's a nice beer that I wish I had purchased a four-pack of that because I would go back to that again and again. Dogfish Head, their 2024 Art Series, Mandarin and Mango Crush. I have to tell you, I didn't know what I was expecting when I opened up this beer. I was sort of like, okay, Mandarin and Mango, all right. I like both. Let's see what happens here. Solid Ale, nice hit of the Mandarin and Mango. This, to me, is a good springtime summer beer. I think more for the summer than spring, but definitely something like if it's a warm day in the spring, 65, 70 degrees, you just finished doing some yard work. This is a beer you could sit back and sip very easily and enjoy it. It's refreshing. Speaking of great beers to sip and enjoy, Autumn Landscape, this is the 2023 version by Industrial Arts Brewing. What an excellent lager. IA does so many good things. They are phenomenal and just a delicious lager that I've been sitting in my fridge for about a month. And then finally, Source Brewing did a bottle beer, a stout with White Eagle Liquor. This is a collab. It's Neon Feathers. And I have to say, I don't know why I sat on this for a few months. I bought this a few months ago, and I sat on it. And then a couple of weeks ago, I just said, you know what? I'm going to crack this and drink this by myself. It's not a big bottle. It's a 375 milliliter bottle. If I do it right, I could drink this for over an hour and a half, and it's fine. And sure enough, I'm glad I did that. Vanilla, coconut, cinnamon, and chocolate all blend seamlessly into an ambrosia of flavor on my tongue. That's how I described it on Untappd. I should have bought another bottle of this. It is exceptional. What an exceptional stout. And I say this about almost every stout that Source does, but this is even more over the top. Decadent dessert, sort of open it, let it sit, let it breathe a little bit, let it warm up in your glass. You know, you get that first sip, it's a little chilly. And then as you're sipping through it, when you get about halfway down, it's warming and it's refreshing. Refreshing is not the right term. It's warming. It's comforting. That's the word I would use, comforting. And real quick, two things before I get out of here. Number one, when I mentioned about, you know, local breweries should do more brewery-only beers, I think if you do a brewery-only beer, I think that's how you attract more people to come into your place, especially if it's a really good beer or a classic. Wet Ticket is a good example. Tim, if you're listening, a little piece of advice. I'm understanding that they're not going to be canning the Hefeweizen this year. I guess for whatever reason, maybe it doesn't sell well in distro, whatever. I love Tim's Hefeweizen. It's fantastic. Make the Hefeweizen a brewery-only beer. You don't have to brew as much of it. You can brew a bunch of Sixtels and just have it on tap. I'll drink it. Believe me, I will drink it. And I know there are others that would drink it too. But if you do that, I think if breweries do that, they start putting one or two beers that are brewery only. You could do it with an IPA. I mean, their new Nectaron beer, Wet Tick, is coming out in cans. Can't wait for that because I'm definitely buying that. But I think if you make it a brewery only selection, I think you'll get more people to come in and say, hey, I got to have that beer, and I can only get it at the brewery. I wouldn't even put it in a crowler. You can only buy it here, and you can only get it on draft, and you can only get it in pours. That, I think, would be the smart move. But I digress. I think that's a smart move. And if more places did that, I think that would be a boost for them. But what do I know? That's the Italian way of giving advice. We give advice, and then we go, but what do I know? Finally, a good friend's from Samuel Adams, celebrating 40 years of craft beer. And they sent me probably one of the most unique gifts I've ever received from a brewery. A briefcase. Yes, an actual, I'm sure it's fake leather, an actual briefcase that you can use. And in it were four cans of beer and snacks. And there's a letter, there's a picture of Jim Cook, and on the back is a note. And he basically said, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he basically says when he was trying to sell his beer back in 1984, he used to put the beer cold in a briefcase and go around and try and get people to try it. In that briefcase was snacks because he would be out all day. And so he says the craft beer story wouldn't be where it is today without those who share it. As a special thank you for your place in the Sam story, I'm raising a pint to you. Within this briefcase, modeled after my very own from 1984, you'll find the beer that started it all, Boston Lager, along with the beer lover's non-alcoholic brew, Just a Haze. Just as I thought people would want more out of their beer, when I started Samuel Adams, we thought people would welcome the same from their non-alcoholic options. So we spent 2 years crafting Just a Haze, a juicy, hazy, non-alcoholic IPA worthy enough for beer lovers, which earned gold in the non-alcoholic beer category at the Great American Beer Festival almost 40 years after Boston Lager was selected as the best beer in America there, a nice bookend for 40 years of brewing great beer. Since I frequently made sales calls during mealtimes, I kept snacks in my briefcase. So we also included Boston Lager-infused peanuts from Sipping Snacks, a partner of our Brewing the American Dream program that provides capital networks and business coaching for food and beverage business owners across the country. As we continue to innovate for the coming 40 years and support the next generation of artisans and entrepreneurs, the future of craft is as bright as ever. And that from Jim Cook. And you know what, Jim? You're absolutely right. And thank you. Thank you for this beautiful gift. Thank you for your beer, because if it wasn't for your beer, the rest of this would not be. I say that Jim is the godfather of craft beer. That is an accurate description of Jim Cook. And he's still pushing the envelope. as evidenced by the non-alcoholic beer that they've done. And Just the Haze is an excellent non-alcoholic beer. Don't kid yourself. It's good. If you want to change a pace, that's definitely something to drink. We are out of time. My thanks to everybody involved in the show, including my guest, Kristen Popchev, the Director of Experience from Weldworks, and, of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson. Back on the Joe Piscopo Show at 6 a.m. This has been the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. Cheers, everybody.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.